You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Wow. So good. Amen. Hey, come on, let's just go ahead and return that and welcome and honor and thank the worship team for leading us here today. Powerful. The same God. Amen. The same God. Such a good time of worship already this morning, and come on, seven baptisms. Wasn't that fresh? Wasn't that good? Amen. I love it. We're waking our hands up today. Our hands are going to worship. Amen. Hey, well, grateful to be in this place. I feel like there's faith in the room. There's grace in the room. God's going to move today, and he already is. And I just want to bring a greeting one more time from the great Las Vegas, Nevada, not the city of sin, but the city of him. Amen. Come on, right? God's doing a great work in our city, and grateful that Houston's First and Pastor Greg and the team here have decided to get in on it and help us make a difference. One more time, my name is Hayden. If you need to remember that, just remember Hayden Go Seek. I'm Hayden, all right? I know that's a little corny, but help you remember it. And I just want to also greet you from my wife Nina and our five boys. I'll show you a quick picture of our crew here. That's our squad. And so we're grateful for the fam. And so those five are, that's why I got all these grays coming in on the side, trying to keep up with them and being fruitful and multiplying. Hey, come on. The Lord's been kind. So I just want to go ahead and thank you again for welcoming me to the humidity, all right? We got some dry heat in Vegas, but we stepped off that plane yesterday, Nina and I. We're like, whoa, this is a little different. Different, but good. And again, I've heard so much great things about Houston's First over the years. Pastor Greg is just such a faithful Bible teacher, kingdom man who desires to live out Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, and God will add all the other things. As he's done that, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, led him all the way to Las Vegas. I want to show you one more picture. This was from last year when Pastor Greg and Kelly came out and just began to do some equipping at a cohort we did. And this is all church planters in our city, team members, where we just got to spend a few hours with them. And then he brought a word, and I just thought, hey, what a powerful time. He has contributed to the kingdom work in Las Vegas. I want you to know, sometimes when your pastor is not here, he's making a difference somewhere else in a very powerful way, especially within our city. And so, come on, can we honor and thank the Lord for Pastor Greg and Kelly one time? You're part of a special house. I think when you're in a miracle, sometimes it's hard to see it, but I just wanted to remind you of it. And I can say this today. I know that Pastor Greg has contributed much to many church planters and leaders around the world like myself. But I can say today, I have contributed a discipleship factor in his life. I'm going to put one more picture up. I have helped Pastor Greg level up his shoe game. All right. I did that. Okay. I got him his first ever pair of Jordans. Let's go. Come on. I said, Pastor Greg, if you got, you know, a fresh kick Sunday's coming up. All right. So, you know, when those middle schoolers come in, pull your Aggies Jordans out, all right? And so he was kind to, he said, you really think I could pull these off? I said, I know you could pull these off. Come on, you just got to do it with confidence, PG. And he heard me on it, and he invited me to come share. So grateful to be here one more time. And if anybody's hungry for the word, let me see you put your hand in the air like you do care. Wow, come on. We got a lot of people hungry for the word here today. Let's go ahead and jump in. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to turn with me, scroll with me, log on with me. Let's get there. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to just jump around John 14, 15, and 16. Ooh, I like to hear the pages flipping and the glow on some of your faces is just lighting up right now. Let's go. Come on. As I was thinking about this message this morning, I felt like the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart and direct me to several passages that have been speaking to my life throughout the course of 2025. When we kicked off this year, I really felt like I needed to go deeper. I wanted to go deeper. And I felt like the Lord took me into the garden with him, and specifically John 14, 15, 16. Many scholars believe that this is Jesus's farewell sermon So what had just happened in John 13, you'll find Jesus in the upper room. He's there with his disciples. He dips the pita in the hummus. Come on, right? He's having a fellowship. He institutes the Lord's Supper. He washes the disciples' feet. Suddenly you find Judas identify himself as the betrayer. He exits the room. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Let us get up and get going." Now, I believe that Jesus likely led his disciples through the Kidron Valley. I got a chance to play professional basketball in Israel back in the day, and I can just remember going through these different places around the Garden of Gethsemane, which is where Jesus was ultimately heading. And I just find Jesus pausing by one of those big, say, Israeli oak trees or fig trees, where Jesus chooses to give this powerful, life-changing farewell sermon. He's talking about abiding in him and he in us. And in a way, he kind of exposes us because he says that he's the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. But then he says, we are the branches. I came here to discourage some people here in the room a little bit. You're a branch, all right? Some of y'all are branches with makeup on or a fresh haircut. But at the end of the day, our biggest assignment and goal in life is to stay connected to the vine. Can I get an amen? A branch that's not connected is a stick, is a twig, right? A branch's greatest potential in life is to stay connected to the vine. That's where the fruit is. And so God has been taking me on this journey of what does it look like to abide and stay connected to the vine and to produce fruit, not just fruit, but much fruit, even more fruit for his glory. And I've been working on that this season, but I felt like as I was journeying through this sermon and trying to listen closely, I started to see a pattern in the scriptures that I want to look at here today. Let's look at three verses. First off, it's in John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Amen? And so Jesus in John 14 is letting the disciples know in this powerful sermon that though he is leaving, though he's ascending on high here soon, right? He's around the corner is the cross, and then he's going to be buried, and then he's going to ascend after he rises from the grave. He says, "I'm going to send you a capital H helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Now, John 15, the very next chapter, Jesus is still preaching. John 15, verse 26, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who will proceed from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Once again, Jesus says, "Hey, I want to remind you, I'm sending the Helper." We flip over to John 16, Jesus still preaching. Come on, this is a good word from the Word, amen? What does he say? John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, in case you weren't listening 2 seconds ago, I tell you the truth." When Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," we should listen. Come on. He says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I want to preach a message to you today that I'm simply titling, "Embrace the Help." Come on, embrace the Help. In fact, help me teach this title to the person directly next to you. Just look at them and say, "Embrace the Help." Come on, embrace the Help. How about you look at the person on the other side and say, "You are my second choice, but I love you still." Embrace the Help. Embrace the Help. Some wives in the room, find your husbands later and say, "I've been trying to teach you this. Embrace the Help." I felt like this last night as my wife and I were trying to find the airport. I said, "You know what? I think I know where I'm at. I think I can figure this thing out." And I missed that exit. And it said, 9 more minutes have been added to your trip. And she said, "You need help." Embrace the Help. Hey, let me ask you a question. If I can just be transparent and authentic here in the room just for a second. How many of you know that Today you would say, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ loved me enough to come down from heaven and live the perfect sinless life in my place, to then die a sinner's death on the cross, paying for our sin debt, being buried in the grave for 3 days, rises from the grave, defeats death, hell, Satan, spends 40 days preaching about the kingdom, then ascends on high into eternity at the right hand of the Father. And you would say, today, I believe that. I am forgiven. I am free. I've even been baptized as a follower of Jesus in my discipleship. And you would say today, all of that is true, but there's still moments where you find yourself saying, I need help. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Where you'd say, you know what? I believe I'm saved. I'm super saved. I love the Lord. I even go to Sunday school and I'm engaged. I serve. But if I'm honest, there's still moments where you need help. Aren't you grateful that Jesus doesn't, on the way up ascending into heaven, that Jesus doesn't say, all right, you guys, y'all figure it out. I'm going to the right hand. I'll see you when you get there. Work hard. No. What does he say? He says, I'm sending you the help. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, he says. In fact, you're not going to have to do this by yourself. What does he say? I'm going to be with you always, always, to the end of the age. Now, how is Jesus with us always? Friend, he sends us the helper. Charles Spurgeon says, too often the Holy Spirit is dishonored amongst us. We need to honor the helper. Come on. He has sent us help. Somebody say, embrace the help. Embrace. I'm a feedback preacher, so help me feel at home today. So come on. If you're feeling it, you can give me a little amen or a mm-hmm, or that was good. All right. Hey, embrace the help. I'm not going to disgrace it. I'm going to embrace it. Embrace the help. Let me give you three thoughts today on how you can embrace the help. And as a church planter in Las Vegas, I find myself oftentimes needing, relying, asking for the Holy Spirit's help. I'm grateful that he gives it. Point number one, recognize our need. We need the Spirit. I want to encourage you to recognize today, man, I am needy, desperately needy. Friend, the Christian life is a spiritual journey, amen? Right, this is not something that we can do in the flesh, not by might, not by power, but the Lord, right? It's gotta be him, and the Lord is the Spirit, and he helps us. We gotta recognize our need. John 16, verse 7. Let's look at it one more time. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Friend, Jesus is letting us know we need help. And come on, how about this? The advantage. I don't know about you, but I'm an athlete. At least I thought I was once upon a time, trying to keep up now. But I'm realizing, you know what? When you can get the advantage, take it. Take it. Jesus is saying, I'm trying to give you the advantage in life, especially when things get hard. You're going to need the advantage. And friend, the Holy Spirit is him. We need help. We need help to live this life out. We need help to understand the word correctly. We need help to defeat sin. We need help to win the war against the demonic spiritual forces coming against us, as we see in Ephesians 6. We need help to know what to do and what not to do. We need help when we're struggling, we feel defeated, we fall back into the sin that we thought we would never do. Friend, I've found that we need help, and I want to encourage you today, embrace the help. I think so many of us are trying to live this Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit's help, and it's not working. Hey, listen, if you walk out today on this beautiful Sunday in Houston, and you're walking to your car, and you see a branch that's like chilling over on the side of the road and it's going like this. And you go up and you say, Branch, what are you doing? It said, I'm trying to produce fruit. You know what you're gonna say? You need help. I'm going to pray for you, Branch. Branch, you could work as hard as you can. You ain't never going to produce no fruit. But if you get attached to the vine, the power of the vine will begin to work through the branch and fruit will at some point pop off. I wrote this down in my notes. Less trying, more relying. Amen. What's a good description of the Christian life? Less trying, more relying on Him. It's not about me working harder. It's about me remaining longer. It's about me as a branch recognizing I am needy. If I have any hope in this world, it's going to come from the fruit that comes from the Spirit of God at work in my life. That's the advantage. Come on, let me remind you of a warning that comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. It says it like this. Pride comes before destruction and an arrogant spirit before a fall. I'm reminded that, you know what? I need help. I don't want to be prideful. What's the definition of prideful? Pride is when you say, I don't need help. I can do it. I got it. If you find a moment of destruction, if you unlayer that destructive moment just back one step, you'll find pride. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit. A haughty spirit says, look at me. It's all about me. That's when you know a fall is coming. I want to encourage you. Let's just have less destruction in the second half of 2025. Amen. Come on. Let's go ahead and decrease the destruction. Let's increase Christ, more fruit, more power, more glory for Him, more joy for us. Less of me, more of Him. John the Baptist, what does he say? He says, hey, let me decrease. Let Him increase. Embrace the help. Recognize the need. I love how C.S. Lewis says it. The great philosopher Lewis says, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Come on, can I get an amen? Right? What's C.S. Lewis trying to teach us? Church trying to teach us, hey, you need help. You're not the star of the show, but He is. And when you can get to the reality that, you know what, it's not even about me. I'm a branch. But if I could stay connected to the vine, I need the Holy Spirit's help to do that. I think that's the first way to start recognizing the help. I need help. Grateful that Jesus has sent me a helper, the helper. It's Him. It's the Holy Spirit. Point number two, not just recognize our need, but listen to His voice. Come on, you got to listen. We got to listen to when He prompts, when He speaks, when the Holy Spirit nudges, when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm giving you this prompting, this word from the word. Sometimes it comes in the form of conviction, like the Holy Spirit will gently say, stop doing that. Like it's one thing to say, you know what, I recognize that I have a need. It's another thing to take your headphones off and say, all right, I'm listening. Come on. Right, I'm listening to His voice. Look what Jesus says in John chapter 10, right? So same book, a few chapters previous, He says it like this. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. Come on, is this good news here today? Come on, downtown campus, is this good news here today, right? Let's go shout out the camp. Come on, can we shout out the digital family? They're leaning in here today. What's up, digital family? Hey, I want to encourage you. Come on, downtown. Come on, right here, right in this place. Embrace the help. You got to listen to His voice. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What does Jesus say? He says, if you're a follower of Him, if you're a sheep here today, listen to His voice. How do we listen to His voice? I think we have to get out of the way and we have to have our Bibles open and we need to be listening. Well, we need a word from the word. Well, because we're needy, we need help. We can't do this thing on our own. And I believe we need to listen to His voice because the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish a task through us. Like reaching more people with the good news of the gospel. Isn't it good news that the Holy Spirit can see what we can't? In fact, I would even say the Holy Spirit's already in tomorrow. So you know what we should do? We should listen to him today. You know what? I had a moment just recently. I felt convicted that I need to get back to the gym. All right. And something about like 2025 has had like a lot of sweets and treats and all that. And so I was just like, you know what? This ain't working. I need to get back to the gym. So I got me a gym pass and I started going to the gym. And this was like a few months back. One of these like strong workout dudes was like, hey, brother. I don't know if he talked like that. That's just kind of how I heard it. So, hey, brother, if you really want to work on your health, he said, you got to go in the sauna after you work out. You got to give at least 10 minutes in the sauna. You got to sweat out all the cookies and the cupcakes and all that. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go do it. And so I go into the sauna and I'm sitting there in the sauna. And can I just be honest? I'm like a relational extrovert pastor guy, but I just didn't want to talk to nobody. So I have my headphones in. And of course, somebody's like, hey, what's up, dude? And I'm like, oh, hey, man, I'm just trying to get out of here. Take my headphones off. And he says, hey, you're Pastor Hayden. And I said, that's right, it's me. And he goes, man, I've been coming to Walk Church now here and there, and I've been seeing you online and stuff. And I was like, man, dude, that is so cool. And so we're having this conversation. Now, there's other people in the sauna. And I'm kind of thinking, this is a little bit like we're having this like really faith-based conversation, and this other guy is like really listening hard. And so I'm feeling awkward. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? You know, like, you good? Are we offending you? You know, we're having this deep conversation. And this guy's sharing all about his journey with me. And this other guy's listening. He says, hey, guys, like, I've been growing in my faith, too. And I'm just listening to you guys share. And now the prideful me goes, man, that's awesome. You guys have a great conversation. I did my 10 minutes. I am feeling sweaty and I'm leaving. And I leave. All right. That's just my testimony. So I leave the gym. I get in my car and the Holy Spirit nudges me and says, go back. And I said, no. I already did my part. I did my workout. I even stayed and talked for 10 minutes. So I go down the road and I get to the next stoplight and the Holy Spirit says, it's me again. I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed. Go back. And I said, I wonder if that was the protein shake. I'm not sure. Maybe it was that. No. I go down another light. And finally, here's what I know. I've walked with Jesus long enough to know if you move past the soft, still conviction and whisper of the Holy Spirit, you'll regret it. I've found more joy in. Look, if I go back there and he's not there, at least I was obedient to what the Spirit prompted me to do. And I trust his voice is better than my own. So what do? I hit a U-turn. Go through the light, walk past the person. I say, hey, I already checked in. I'm just coming back again. All good. 2 days. Come on, right? And in my head, I'm thinking, what am I doing, man? I open that sauna door. One guy sitting there, same guy. He looks at me. He goes, I hoped you'd come back. I said, dude, of course, man. And in fact, I feel like the Spirit of God wanted us to talk more. And he goes, last night I was reading in Matthew 13, some type of parable about seeds. I have no idea what it's talking about. Can you explain it to me? And I got to share the gospel with him and talk with him about faith and putting his trust in Jesus. And it's good to be in the Word of God. And the seed is the Word and the gospel. And the devil's trying to snatch that seed out of your heart. And you got to put your faith in Christ. And he just went deeper in that. It was such a powerful moment. Can I just tell you? I have two emotions. One emotion is walking out of there fast, thinking, okay, I got to get to the work. Another is, man, I'm glad I was obedient to the Holy Spirit. His way is better. Come on. Tell the person next to you, his way is better. His way is better. Amen. Come on, right? I've just realized I got to listen to his voice. When he speaks, it's better to do it. I think that the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish something through each and every one of us this week. The question is, are we going to listen to his voice? Are we going to listen to the soft? I'm not saying that you need to hear an audible voice from the Lord. I heard one person say, if you want to hear God speak out loud, read your Bible out loud, right? God is speaking through his word. But I believe the Holy Spirit is so close that he's prompting, he's convicting, he's giving us guidance and insights, almost like the GPS saying, hey, turn left here. You're going to add a lot of time to your trip unless you listen to me. Let us listen well. Let me give you the third and final point for my note takers in the room, for my screenshotters in the room. Come on, catch this. Don't miss this. Run the play. Come on, somebody say, run the play.
Run the play.
You know, one thing that I recently have learned, now this might sound elementary to all my football players in the room, but it's been an honor to work with the Raiders as a team chaplain for the past couple years. And I've been building a lot of really good kingdom relationships with the quarterback room. And one time I was listening to some of the conversations amongst the quarterbacks, and I didn't fully know, because I'm a basketball guy, right? I don't do all that football stuff. I was listening, and I realized that in the football player's helmet, specifically the quarterback, there's a little microphone that speaks to the quarterback from an individual who's way higher up watching the game. And it's that offensive coordinator that's speaking to the quarterback and giving him the play. And so it's not necessarily the quarterback that's just freestyling out there. Can I get an amen? Right? That's just making decisions, right? It's actually somebody above the quarterback that's giving him the play. Now, if he goes out there and does his own thing, that's how you don't go back in the game. You got to run the play. The quarterback is saying, hey, you know what? The most important thing, hey, as long as I run the play, it's up to them to get it right. Can I just tell you, Christian, you have somebody above you that's watching you, that's watching everybody else in your life, that's watching how God's moving in your family and in and through your school and campus and in your heart and in your mind. Brother, sister, he's giving you the play. Run the play. I think that the biggest task that we could do is recognize, okay, I'm needy. I can't do this on my own. I'm prideful. I'm sinful. Left to myself, I'm on a destination to hell. But in Christ, I have everything I need. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Apart from abiding in him, I can do nothing. But abiding in him, I can produce much fruit. I recognize I have a need, and I'm listening to his voice. Oh, please don't be the type of person that says, okay, I'm listening, but I'm going to go run my own play. Come on, when he gives you the play, run it. Be that type of quarterback. How amazing is that, that God has entrusted you to run the play? That God has chosen to pick you to throw the ball? That God has actually given you the assignment to make a difference? Look what Jesus says to the disciples in Acts 1:8. Right before Jesus ascends into heaven, this is some of his final words here on earth. He speaks to the disciples. He says, but you will receive power. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. You will receive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be, not might be, not could be. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's home team. That's right here in H-Town. Come on. You're going to be a witness here, and then you'll be my witnesses in Judea. Go a little bit outside of here, and then you're going to cross cultural barriers and societal lines. You're going to take my gospel and my good news, my witness to Samaria. In fact, you're going to make it all the way to Las Vegas. Come on, amen. To the ends of the earth. And how are you going to do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be my witness. You're going to tell people about what I've done. You need the Spirit. Run the play. Come on, don't run the wrong play. Jesus might say, you know what? I'm going to give that play to somebody who's going to run it. Might be less gifted, but gonna be faithful. I think some of you know, in a room this size, in an online audience that's leaning in right now, you might know the play you need to run. The question is, are you gonna run it? And can I just tell you one more thing before I close? The Holy Spirit is glad to help. In fact, he wants, he's got all nine fruit to help you do. Love, joy, peace. Come on, y'all know him? Patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit is all nine all the time.
So if you're walking by the Spirit, he's going to give you the fruit. He's going to give you the characteristics. He's going to give you the dunamis power to run the play.
I actually needed to call on the fruit of the Spirit recently because in this next chapter of my life, I've been trying to golf. Come on, anybody, any golfers in the room? We got a couple golfers? Come on, I know some of y'all are like itching to get to a tee time today. You're like, hurry up, preacher, right? Hey, listen, golf is a frustrating sport. There's nothing more humbling to somebody that can't play golf than to play 18 holes, is my opinion. So I've recently been invited to play more rounds of golf, and it's not my thing. But I'm working on it, okay? And recently, there were some pastors who kindly invited me to play some of the best courses in Augusta, Georgia. And I thought, are you sure you want to invite me? Because I'm going to like slow y'all down. Look, I'm going to hit the ball, and I'm just going to pick it up wherever you guys hit, and I'm just going to act like I should be there, okay? And so we're there. We're playing on this course that was designed by Arnold Palmer. And I'm like, how did I even get here? The Lord has been kind, right? And I'm getting ready to tee off, right? And I'm like, none of y'all look at me. Just feeling embarrassed. I'm feeling exposed. And I turn around and there's this one guy who's standing behind me. We're getting to tee off on the first hole. He's standing behind me. He's just looking at me. And so I'm like, why is this guy looking at me? So I do my bad tee off. It goes into someone's backyard, whatever. That's not, it's not important detail. We get to the second hole and I notice this guy's still looking at me. And so finally on the third hole, I asked one of our buddies, who's this guy? And he goes, that's Kevin. That's our caddy. I said, I've never played with a caddy before. Somebody explain to me what a caddy is. He said, a caddy is here to help. So hole number four, I go up to him. I say, hey, Kevin. He goes, hey, man, what's going on? I said, what am I doing wrong? And he goes, honestly, you're not far. You actually got good technique. You got good mechanics. If you just tweak a couple things, you could actually be a little bit better. I think you're going to do great this next hole. I said, you do? He said, I do. I said, well, all right. I stepped up. I said, hey, get me right. Get me right. He's like, turn your balance a little bit. He goes, now let the club do the work, right? I got a free golf lesson today at church, right? He goes, stop working so hard. You're using too much of you. You just got to let the club, you just got to swing through. Hey, I had one of my best swings right there on hole number five. Next, they say, hey, dude, nice shot right there. That was a little bit better. I said, I know, I've been working on it, right? Hole number six, I go over to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, which club should I use? He goes, I'm glad you asked. Let's go with this one. And this one's going to get you there. You don't want to hit it too hard. You don't want to hit it too short. You want to just get it just right. So I go over to the golf guys. I go, hey, guys, I'm hitting with this one right now. I don't want to hit it too far. I just want to hit it just right. They go, dude, that's a good call. I say, I know. Wink at Kevin. Hit another good shot. Now, of course, now 18 holes, it's like we're on like hole 13. And I remember this line. I wrote it down in my notes. When he said it to me, I wrote it down in my journal. I said, man, Kevin, dude, I'm struggling here. Thank you for helping me. And he looks me in the eyes. He goes, Hayden, I want you to hear me say this. It is my job to make sure you finish well. Amen. He goes, he said, stop apologizing. It's my job. I'm here on an assignment to make sure you finish this course as best as you can. That's why I'm here. And not only that, you're going to make the next shot. And I said, I am going to make the next shot. Listen, that was my best round because I had help. I needed to listen. Hey, I got a picture. This is me and my guy, Kevin. Come on, we got the picture. Hey, there he is right there. Come on. Hey, I hit all my balls into the water. He said, I got a whole pouch full of balls. Try this one. Take this one. Listen. Brother, sister, I want to share with you today. Listen, you guys are hitting balls all over the place in your Christian life. The Holy Spirit's got another one for you. The Holy Spirit, his assignment is to make sure you finish well. I want you to be encouraged today that the Holy Spirit is nudging up against you saying, hey, embrace the help. I want to see you finish. I want to see you make it to the finish line.
Houston First, the Holy Spirit is not disappointed in you. I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you get there. The Holy Spirit is committed to you. The Holy Spirit saying, hey, you're going to hit the next one. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, you're going to hit the next one. Come on, you're going to hit the next one. Amen? I think sometimes we just need to hear that. You're going to hit the next one. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to help you do it. So even if you hit this next ball completely out of the range, hey, the righteous fall seven times. But get back up again. And the Holy Spirit's going to pull you up, lift you up, Branch, connect you back to the vine to produce good fruit. Amen? Come on, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this word today. God, I think that there'd maybe be somebody who needed it, if not just me. Lord, help us to run the plays. God, I pray that you would do a great work in and through this fellowship, downtown campus. Right now, those in the room, those watching this, maybe even in the future. Oh, Jesus, would you move in power? Holy Spirit, have your way in us. God, if there's anybody who doesn't know you today, I know, Holy Spirit, you would want them to know the Son. God, would you help lift the veil from their eyes right now? Would they turn and respond in faith and put their faith and trust in you, Jesus? Would they receive you today? God, if there's one person here in the room that just needs to make their way down to the aisle and come and kneel at the altar, maybe they could just let something go, surrender something that the Holy Spirit is calling them to surrender. Could be an addiction, could be a struggle with sexual sin or pridefulness or just feeling sad and just needs to come up front and be prayed for by the prayer team. God, if there's anybody who needs to respond today, Lord, I pray they would run the play. And would they sense your Holy Spirit, the great caddy, the helper, the king, the Spirit of God? Would you help us to finish strong? We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.